Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for today, and we thank you for a beautiful day that we can come together to grow in your word and hear from heaven. And Lord, we just thank you in advance that we do have ears to hear, hearts that are open and ready to receive your truths, so that we can be changed and we can be conformed to the image of your Son, so that we can accomplish and fulfill and do all that you called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I was thinking about a few different things, of course. As we start the new year, you know, everybody has these resolutions. Right?
Yes.
You know, a resolution really doesn't mean anything unless you look at the word resolution. Part of that word is to resolve.
Yeah.
To make a decision to change or to do something. And I think it's interesting, you know, you go shopping at a warehouse club, and Christmas, up until New Year's, they have all the cake and the sweets and the candy and the cookies and all that great stuff and the pastries. And then right after New Year's, they have all the exercise machines, you know, the gym machines, yep. The weights, all the cookies and everything is gone. It's all been cleared out. Now they got the weight machines and the furniture, because you need new furniture because it's a new year. So, but I was thinking about this, is why do we make resolutions but nothing changes? Uh-oh. Right? Uh-oh. You know how we say, well, this year I'm going to do this, but we don't do it. And so here's a couple of things I thought would be important to improve our lives. Amen? And it's going to be along the lines of the word commitment. As we grow in our commitment, then we change the things that we desire, and even our commitment to the Lord. The Lord will enable us to make changes in our lives that we desire, and that we'll become more fruitful, right? So part of a church culture, the culture, if you look at the culture of something, how the organism lives and its being is, one of the things in making a change is we have to talk about commitment, right? And I'll define it for you. A commitment is an agreement or a pledge to do something in the future. Mm. Right? Something you're going to do. You go to buy something these days, if you don't pay cash for it, if you use your credit card, you're really committing that you're going to pay it back. Right? Mm. You look at the U.S. debt, they're committing they're going to pay it back. Whether they do or not, I don't know. But we're making these commitments of something we pledge to do in the future. Or here's another definition. The state or an instance of being obligated or emotionally invested. When you get married, you commit to one another, you're emotionally invested, or you should be. You're committing to that other person, you're obligated. Another definition would be to be constantly or dedicated, devotedness, loyalty, and faithfulness. So when you were talking about the words commitment, we're talking about these things. And interestingly, when you look at devotedness, another way you could say that is devotion. Mm. Like sometimes they say, have you read your biblical devotion? Right? And it's like, I gotta read my devotion. I haven't done my devotion. Well, really, that's just like saying, I haven't done my commitment. Mm-hmm. Right? So once you keep in mind that it's important not only to make commitments, now this is important, but you and I have to have the ability to fulfill that commitment. Why make a commitment if I can't do what I'm committing to do? Does that make sense? So sometimes the reason we don't fulfill our commitments is because we don't have the ability to fulfill the commitment that we're making. You know, it's like my daughter said to me, Dad, give me a car. My second daughter, the 9-year-old. I said, why? You don't even have your license. Why would I get you a car? And you know, she said, well, I'll be committed. I'll keep it nice. Hey, you got first things first. You're not even at the age where you can have a license yet. You know, I have to go through these discussions with my kids. So, but it's interesting because if we want to be able to make a commitment, we got to ensure that we can do it. Otherwise, it's not really being committed because we can't fulfill our part of the bargain, right? So, like, rather than saying, I want to be a better driver, like, you know, someone, their New Year's resolution, they want to drive better and get no tickets. Well, first thing is just get your license first. You know, that would help. Follow that commitment is to get your license. Then you can work on being a better driver. Sometimes. Sometimes we get it kind of mixed up. And then when we don't fulfill our commitments, what happens? We get sad, or we get dejected, or we quit. Or we say, what's the use, right? And then next year, what's funny is we make the same commitment that we did the year before, but nothing, we haven't worked on anything.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. So we just say, okay, I'm going to commit to do it again. But you haven't really got to the root of the obligation, or you're not counting the cost at what's it going to take to make this commitment. You know, like when I got married, I didn't count the cost. I didn't know there was a cost. I was young, okay? I thought, well, I didn't think right, but that's not the point. And I'm sure my wife was thinking, she didn't count the cost either. But, you know, I remember when we got married, this is kind of how naive I was. I knew I loved her. That wasn't the issue. But one time we had this argument, and I said, you know, I forgive you. Let's move on. And you forgive me? She says, no. I said, what do you mean? She says, I don't forgive you. I said, the Bible says you need to forgive. She goes, I don't care. And that was a revelation to me that somebody could disobey the Bible. That's how naive I was. I was like, what? That doesn't... I didn't count on that one. I just counted on, hey, we're going to, you know, go by the book and obey the Bible. It didn't dawn on me that people didn't have to obey the Bible. But I learned.
I forgive you.
She forgave me now. So what does it mean when we talk about commitment? What is required, especially in our commitment to the Lord? Right? Here's a couple things. Why does one need to be committed to the Lord? Luke 14 says this. Now, I have a lot of scriptures. You might want to write them down because, I mean, I have a lot of scriptures. Mm-hmm. He says this. You must be willing, verse 33, you must be willing to give up everything to be my disciple. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. He said, you must be willing. Now, when we look at the word commitment, what does it mean again? To be devoted or to be loyal, to be faithful?
Yeah.
To understand there's an obligation I need to meet or to fulfill.
Right.
And he said, Luke 14:33 said, you must be willing. Now this is important because he didn't say you have to give up everything, but you must be willing to do it.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
You must be willing to give up. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to give up anything. They don't want to give up their sleep. To come to church. I mean, it's not like we have 7 a.m. service, you know. It's like, you should be up anyway. It's like 11 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Well, so, anyway, but you must be willing to give up everything to be my disciple. And then he says, Philippians 3:7, Paul says it this way. But whatever was an asset to me or whatever I counted valuable at one time, I now count it loss for the sake of Christ.
That's good, yes.
Meaning, again, it is not lost, but he counts it like it's nothing when he's comparing it to his commitment or his obligation to Christ.
That's good. Right? Yes.
Luke 14:26 says it this way. If you love your father or mother more than me, Jesus is speaking, you're not worthy of me. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting here, it doesn't seem like Jesus is trying to draw a big crowd. No. I think it's almost the opposite. He's like, yeah, well, if you love your mom and your dad more than me, you're not worthy of me. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean you couldn't love them. But like one guy said, hey, well, let me go bury my father. He goes, let the dead bury the dead. Follow me.
Yeah.
He's like, that's offensive.
Wow.
You offended me. He goes, and he asked him the question, does that offend you? How about this one? You know, he did say this when... He was talking about he was, you know, he just performed the miracle of the fish and the bread. The multitudes were following him, and he multiplied the bread and the fish, and the disciples, or the people there ate, the disciples ate. And then he says, if you want eternal life, I am the bread of life. No man can come to the Father but through me. You must eat my bread and drink my blood. And they get, whoa, what does this mean? He said, a lot of them got what? Offended.
Yeah.
Because they didn't understand.
Yeah.
See, now this is important. When you don't understand something, don't get offended.
Yeah.
You just don't understand yet. So what do you need to do? You need to hang around long enough so you can learn what he's talking about.
That's good. Amen.
But
that's
what
good.
Happens with people is when they get offended, what happens? They take off.
Yeah. Yeah.
They depart.
Huh.
They leave. They don't grow. They leave.
Yeah.
So here he tells them, they get all offended. He goes, does that one offend you? Well, here's another one. And then when he tells them the second part, they all leave. All his crowd just left. All his disciples. And what's really interesting is he didn't go chase them down.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say, was that one too tough? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. You didn't deserve it. You got issues. I understand. Right? He didn't do that.
No.
He said, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
And the disciples, then he looks at the last 12, and he says, you guys going to leave too? Mm-hmm. Now Peter, you know, he's always speaking up. Right? Mm-hmm. Peter says, I was thinking about it. Well, he didn't say it. But he's thinking, you know what he was thinking, because he says, we don't have anywhere else to go. Sometimes you just hang out because you got nowhere else to go. Right? If I had other options, you know that's true. When you're in like a really hard time, if you had somewhere else to go, you would be gone. If you could think of somewhere else to go. I remember, man, there's a lot of times, if I had money, I'd be gone. I wouldn't stay where I was. You're like in a really difficult situation or circumstance, and you think anywhere is better than here. Anybody ever have that thought? I don't mean relation to your spouse. I'm not talking that. Right? I just mean, say, you and your spouse, your family, you're in a hard place. And so you're thinking, anywhere has got to be better than here.
Yeah.
And if I could think of somewhere to go,
yeah.
I would go.
That's right. Yeah.
I just can't think of anywhere right now. But if I could, I'd be gone.
Right.
So Peter, Jesus asked the disciples that question. And then Peter said, we don't have anywhere else to go.
Mm.
Because you have the word of life.
Yeah.
Right?
You
are. You are the Son of God.
Yeah.
And so, in that sense, Peter was committed. He was loyal. He was faithful. He was dedicated. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Luke 5:11, and it says this, that when he told his disciples, come, follow me, the Bible says that they left all mm-hmm. and what? Followed him. So you see, in their commitment, why did we follow Christ? Because our commitment to him requires us to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's the idea, when you really think about commitment, you know, there's so many people who don't get involved in relationships because it requires commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, well, I'm secure in who I am. I don't need you. But the problem with that is because they're thinking, you might make me insecure. And I'm already secure. So I don't want to become insecure by being committed to somebody else who could make me feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you're secure when you're afraid of commitment. Christ wasn't afraid of commitment,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting. So here it says that they left all and followed him. Why? Because something in their heart, they were committed to something greater than what they could just see or hold or possess. They were committed to him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we look through our commitment to the Lord, I think this is interesting. He requires the highest commitment from us. And here's some areas where we can be committed to. All right, you ready? For example, reading our Bible chapter every day.
Mm.
Now, this is interesting because Proverbs 4, verse 20-23 says that we're supposed to meditate on the word, what? Day and night. You keep the word before you. You're committed to the word. Now, what I like to look at, and this is something the Lord showed me one time, was if I'm having a problem doing that, it's not that I'm not, I don't have a commitment problem. I have a problem that I'm committed to something else more than I am him.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't mean I don't love him. Like on a 1 to 10 scale, I could love him with a 7. You think that's above average? That's pretty good. But I could love something else with a 9. That's keeping me from being committed even in that small area, in that small thing. So we read our word. Psalms 119 says it this way. Your word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And that hiding isn't a one-time thing. It's a continual occurrence. We're supposed to constantly be putting his word into our heart. Amen? And then I like this one. Psalms 119, 148 says, I lie awake each hour of the night thinking about your promises. So he, on the hour, he's thinking of God's promises.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's committed to his word, and he realizes that word is committed to him. Now, here's what I've noticed. I've noticed, like, there's this trend. See, I used to work with youth. I still do, because we're all young in the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I used to deal with the younger people, younger. And what I find interesting is this, is like, in our modern culture, now, when you think about commitment, they say the average commitment, this is statistically, of a Christian or a Christian leader, because of what happens in life and whatever, is 20 years. 20 years. Okay? But every 20 years, there's some new move that comes out that's similar to an old move that could be a fake or false move. Like, let me give you an example. A couple decades ago, we used to have feathers falling from heaven. I'm not kidding. And this was a charismatic thing. Feathers would fall, and everyone would go, the Holy Spirit is here. Because we saw feathers. You think that's kind of weird, right? You think, that's weird. Nobody would fall for that. Why not? It's supernatural. You know, it'd be kind of weird if you saw feathers. And you think, well, that's kind of strange. But you think, I wouldn't fall for that. No, okay. So now, don't get mad at me, but it's about 20 years later, now we get other things falling. For example, gold dust. People believe, oh, there's gold dust that's falling. Gold is a part of God's heavenly streets, and I don't know. But looking at these things, nothing's changed. It's the same thing that's repackaged, but a little bit different twist. So before you had feathers, and now you got gold dust, and you have people being so excited. And usually it's a lot of youth, right? Like when I was a youth, the big thing was the Joshua generation. I was excited because you're a youth, right? And Joshua was the guy who what? Took over from Moses. And so everyone says, we need the Joshuas to rise up and take over the land. You know, you could say, okay, I see that was in the Bible. But at the same time, Joshuas, these Joshuas were really young. Joshuas. They were 30, 35, maybe 40 years old. And they're trying to say, hey, you guys who are 60 or old, now you guys got to move out of the way because we're the Joshua generation.
Yeah.
Right? Now here's what's interesting. Now just think about this. And this was a move that actually happened. It was a big thing in the church. But what ends up happening is they don't realize Joshua waited 40 years before he took over for Moses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I'm all for the Joshua generation, but just serve God for 40 years and then you can qualify like Joshua did.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, this is something special. This is something big. This is something new. And so you see every so often, you get these new moves that come through. And the reason I mention this is because the one move that we should always hold is the word.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
These moves exclude the word from their movement. And it's dangerous because David said, hey, look, I'm going to lie awake at night Because I want to hear your word.
Yeah.
I want to hear your word. Why? Because the word is Jesus.
Yes.
He is the word. So we're committed to the word, not just to the worship, even though worship can be great. We're not committed just to the works, even though those are important. But we're committed to what? The word.
Word. Yes.
And if we forget the word, then we can get into trouble. Mm, right? Yes. And the reason I mention that working with the youth is because sometimes, you know, youth, they want to feel good and have a lot of emotion. And you just try to give them what? Instruction with your words and your wisdom. And they don't always receive that. But looking back and looking ahead, I think it's interesting because I said, if they don't get the word, there's nothing for them to base their foundation of their life on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no word. And you could get the emotion of a service and feel like you got something, but that's like eating junk food. You feel full, you just got a bunch of calories, and you don't know why you're still eating. It kind of goes to the social media thing. No offense, young person, right? Social media. Really, you should call it anti-social media.
Yeah.
This is my idea. I think about these things when I'm driving. So people are not more social. They're less social.
Yeah. Right?
And you think you're in a group, but you're not in a group.
Yeah.
You just think somebody likes this, like you don't even know them. And it's not helping you. You're becoming, you know, as a culture, as a society, we're less happy, more lonely, more people are depressed and on antidepressant drugs than ever before. And yet, how can that be if our technology is so great? We have so much more at our disposal. It's because you're going on this social media. And it's really antisocial because you don't know, you're not involved, there's no human contact, but you think you are. It gives you the feeling that you're making friends.
Yeah.
So you get the same dopamine and, you know, serotonin release in your brain to make you feel good. So then you continue that behavior, not realizing nothing's, it's fake.
Yeah.
It really isn't true. It's not making you more social. They're less social because they don't know how to interact with people. I mean, on Facebook, smiley face, me this, me that. And you're great. But when you get around people, you just sit there because you never know how to interact with people.
It's true.
Right? You talk to them and they just look at you like, hey, I don't know. This is a problem. Right?
Yeah,
it is a problem. Like I said, this is a problem.
Yeah.
But I just say that because in our church, we can think we're having this great experience, but if it's void of the word, it's empty.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's
so
right.
So we wanna keep that at our forefront, right?
Amen.
So reading our chapter a day, or listening to it, thinking about it, enhances and strengthens our commitment to Him. When you think about the word commitment, you're thinking of the words loyalty, dependency, devotion, you know, all those types of things. Like, because, you know, there's things that we can think in our head we're doing, and we're great at it, but the reality may be totally different. Like, I'm just using me as an example. Say I hadn't exercised for a long time, but in my head, my mind, I'm thinking, I am such an athlete. Until I go and try and do something, I realize I am not the athlete I am in my mind.
Right.
In my mind, you think you're a superstar, but when you actually try to do something, it doesn't, it's not the same. Then there's this reality, right? And then I can go, no, I don't want that. I don't want the real reality. I'm going to go back to playing video games because that's where I'm good. Right? I'm a champion. I can run. I can do everything in the virtual world. Yeah. But in the real world, no.
Yes, that's right.
God doesn't want you to live in a virtual relationship with Him.
That's good.
Well, don't tell me about watching home, stay at home watching TV for church. Right? We'll get there. But He wants you to interact with people, with Him.
Yes.
Amen? All right, next. So think, next thing we should be doing on a regular basis is praying. That demonstrates our commitment level. Men, women, Bible says people ought to always pray, not give up. Luke 18:1, right? Ephesians 6:18 says it this way, praying always, always, with all types and manners of prayer. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, Paul's reading, he said, we always pray for you. So he's always praying for you, which was the church. So we kept this up always, not just once, but all the time. Why? Because we're committed to you. We're loyal to you. We want you to know we're devoted to you. So I think this is... All right, next. So we talked about reading our Bible, praying, and then next one would be to participate in church functions willfully. Have to put that word willfully in there, because when you look at Scripture, it's really interesting. If we actually are, when I'm looking at this and I read it, I think, oh my goodness. Acts 5:42 says it this way. And they were in the church daily, every day. Mm. So they did not stop to preach Christ. Mm. Now, when you think about daily, people go, I'm pretty committed. I go to church twice a year, April, Easter, and Christmas. That's pretty good. Some people, I go twice a month. I am committed. And then here, he says, we did this every day. Hebrews 3:13 says it this way, exhort or encourage one another daily, amen. Every day, while it's called today.
Yes.
He says, so your job today is to encourage each other
yeah.
in the Lord. Now some of you, and I know what you're thinking, no, I can't take that, that's too much. I can't be communicating with people every day, they get on my nerves. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine you going to church every day? People think you're strange, you go once a week. But if you went every day, what are you doing that? Going to church. What are you doing tomorrow? Going to church. What about Wednesday? Church. Thursday? Church. That's what they did. Every day, they're in church. You know, you talk about commitments at a new level, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I say, we're going to have church every day, you think, not me. I'll pray for you as the Lord leads, but I got things to do, man. I'm not going to be in church every day. No way. Right? Now, when we think we're committed, we just look at the scripture here. These guys were committed every day.
Wow.
And their services weren't 45 minutes. No. They went to express service, no. drive-through service. This wasn't happening. You know, like we said, after 3 hours, Paul was preaching for 3 hours. I think, did I read that right? After 3 hours, some kid falls asleep, which is normal, falls down. He was up in the upper balcony, fell off, died. They raised him up from the dead, and then he keeps preaching. You know, what are you thinking? All right, I ain't falling asleep. Right. 3 hours. I know you don't think I go a long time. It's like... 3 hours. You're going to miss the playoff games. You're going to miss the NFL. You're going to miss the NBA. This is going to go for 5-6 hours. And guess what? We'll do this every day. You think, well, I've got to be pretty committed to do that. You do.
Yeah.
But they were. And we are too. Amen? By faith.
Yeah.
So think about that. All right. Here's another area. We can increase our commitment in the area of giving liberally and joyfully. Of all your increase and your substance, right? Now this is not, when we talk about giving, you know, usually if you really want to look at where you're committed, you just look at where you spend your money, right? I'm not just talking to you, I mean to me. I can say I'm really committed in this area because I spend more money in that area. And if somebody said, like, if somebody asked me, are you really committed to automobiles? No. I don't spend much money in that area. So my commitment level to classic cars, now I might like them, but I know they're expensive. For me, I wouldn't spend that money in that area. There's nothing wrong with them, but I'm not that committed. And if you say, well, let me look at your checkbook. Okay, you're going to see I have spent zero. It's like, I am not committed. But if you ask me, are you committed to, for example, organic food?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm committed to
yeah.
that. Right? I mean, you may not be, that's okay. But
yeah.
that's where I'm more committed to that. And you can look through and go, okay, he bought stuff here, and he bought stuff here. That's okay. Because I'm not spending it over there. But if you say, are you committed to the Lord? Now, you can't think of just in your head. Because your head can say, oh, yeah, I'm real committed. But what's your hand saying?
yeah.
What's your pocketbook saying?
Yeah.
Right? And that commitment is between you and the Lord. Here's what he says. He says, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 and 9, it talks about giving. It says, let him give according to what's in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give your commitment to the Lord, you give what's in your heart. Don't give what somebody else tells you to give or what pressure they put on you. You're supposed to be praying and thinking and asking the Lord, what should we give? Malachi says this, talks about tithes and offerings, about bringing everything into the church so that you can give. Your giving is a reflection of the blessing that the Lord's already given to you. Amen? You're just thanking him. You're just being a good steward of what he's done. In 1 Corinthians, it says this, 16, 1 to 4, says, concerning the collection of the saints. Paul said, hey, I called you ahead of time. I told you I was going to come by and pick up the offering. Because they didn't have it digital. Right? I'm going to pick up that offering, and when I do, just make sure it's ready. Now, this is interesting, because, okay, if I'm committed, I'll be ready. How many of you went to go pick up someone and they weren't ready? And they knew in advance that you were coming? I don't mean your wife or something like that. That's different, guys. Or your relative or something. But if, like, my uncle wanted to take me fishing one time, and up north, I grew up up north, and they have no clouds today. And I don't mean chemtrails or strategic aerosol injections. I'm not talking about that. I just mean, you know, I'm praying for a sunny day. And, oh, man, you start seeing, this is before they had all the seven-day forecasts. You know, you just kind of don't know what's coming. So I'm committed. I am up early. He said, I'll come get you at 6. I'm up at 4. I'm waiting by the door just in case he comes a little bit early. Then the clouds start to gather. I'm thinking, no. Starts to get a couple raindrops. He calls me, oh, it looks like it's cloudy. No, no, it's not. It's not. We're committed to going. Let's go.
Yeah.
Right? But if I was just sitting there and I was still asleep, and he's going to say, well, I thought you really wanted to go. If I'm really wanting to go, I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm going to be ready. Like, that after Christmas or after Thanksgiving Day sale, people are ready to go. They're taking their turkey to go with them. It's like, I'm not even done with Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to eat this turkey in line, right? I'll heat it up. I have it. I think I told you the story. I thought I was so slick one day after Christmas. Do you remember? I don't know. Maybe it's still there, but there was a Best Buy over by North Star Mall. Is that still there? 410? Okay. Well, one day, it was at the early morning Christmas sale, and it was just some TV or whatever it was. I was just going to see if I could go, and I drove. I got up early. My wife's sleeping. I'm thinking, I got this under control. And I get there, and I don't see anybody. It's a little foggy, a little misty. I'm thinking, it's so early. I'm going to be in line. I'm going to be probably, I can get anything I want. I'm going to be one of the top people. But as I get closer to the store, I see a few cars because it was kind of cloudy, you know, really. And by the time I get to the store, the line of people is wrapped around the corner. It's like a couple hundred people.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, well, I'm thinking a couple things. Like, I shouldn't have got up, number one. I wasn't being led. Number two, I wish they were that committed for church. The store's not even open. You got a couple hundred people lined up just wanting to get a, like, you know, first 10 people get this coupon. Well, what's the other 90 people or 190 people waiting for? In case one of the 10 get out of line, and then the other 90 or 100 ahead of them get out of line, and then they can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think, man, that is commitment. They are committed for that sale.
Wow.
When they open those doors and those people rush and fight each other over their toaster or whatever, that is some commitment. Right? They got something they want.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if we are that committed to the Lord, my goodness. Like, I brought my offering ahead of time, God. I prayed over it. It's ready to go. It's double enveloped. I put a zero on the end, an extra zero. I told that to a lady one time. She didn't smile. She's writing out a check. Well, I'll tell you what. She wrote it out for 20. I said, look, just put an extra zero on the end of that. Just make it 200. Give me my... I used to hand out envelopes, right? Like an usher. So I'd be watching people. Do you need an extra envelope? They go, no. I said, well, just give double. I already got one. Give another one, right? The Lord will repay you. What are we talking about? We're going to be committed in our giving to Him. Whatever He tells you.
Yes.
That's what you want to commit to. Because He's committed to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen? When you think we're commitment, most people think, oh, this is a really hard, difficult, heavy thing. But when you talk about being loyal and dedicated and devoted and honorable, having character, now it's something that should inspire you to want to
do.
Amen.
Amen? Amen.
All right. Now this last one. Hallelujah. This one's going to be good. Ready?
Yes.
Got your seatbelts on?
Yeah.
That'd be great if you had a church with seatbelts in the pews. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go. All right. Last one. So we talked about, we read our Bible. Look at your neighbor and say, read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Every day. Pray every day.
Pray.
Participate in church functions with willfulness.
Yeah.
Right?
With willingness.
Be willing. Don't be grudging. It's terrible when your volunteers come in sad and you wish they didn't volunteer. Like, can you just go back somewhere? No, I want to serve the Lord today. It's like, well, I wish you'd stop. And I'm sure he wishes you would stop. Right? What are you, a greeter? No, you're not a greeter. Nobody's happy to see you. You look miserable. Really. I don't want to be like the President Trump, but you're doing a terrible job. You're fired. Go volunteer somewhere where you can do a better job, right? The greeters are supposed to inspire people, not demoralize them, right? You know, it's like if people are depressed, you don't want them popping their antidepressant pills when they see you because they're just going down further, right? No. So last one says we don't want to forsake or abandon the assembling of yourselves together. Now, you know, this is a scripture. The Bible says that we're not to forsake assembling together. It didn't say we had to do it every day, like the early church. Mm-hmm. But do you think there is a correlation between the miracles and the things that they experienced and their commitment level to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably related, right? But we are to encourage one another every day.
Yeah.
So the Bible says
Amen.
To encourage each other.
Right.
Because you and I, we need to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Romans 12:5 says this. We're members one of another. We're members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So to be absent from that makes it hard on everybody because there's a part that's not there. So when we say... The Bible says, don't forsake or don't abandon coming together. This means you cannot watch TV and be a good Christian, a committed Christian. You can't just, when I mean watch TV, I mean for Sunday service. You can't be on Sunday and go, I went to church on Sunday, and there was a great message on TV. It was wonderful. Why? Because the Bible told you don't forsake assembling yourself together.
Right.
You can't do anything for the person on TV. You can't pray for them. You can't touch them. You can't agree with them. You can't encourage them. And if you think, well, I'm just going to talk to the TV by faith, that's, no, it ain't going to work. Be blessed, everybody. No, that ain't going to work. They can't hear you. The Bible knows that. So it says, don't forsake yourself together, assembling. Why? Because you're members one of another. You belong to each other. You're a team. right? Here's another thing you're supposed to be doing, and I'm supposed to be, we're supposed to be doing, Romans 12:10 says, was to be kindly affectionate one to another. That means we shouldn't be harsh and critical toward each other. We should be affectionate.
Yeah.
And to be kind.
Right.
You know, super kind one to another. Why? Because we are related to each other.
Yeah.
We're part of the same body.
Yes.
But you can't do that if you're not here. If I'm not here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Here's another one. We're supposed to be of the same mind one toward another. Romans 12:16. How can we do that if we're never around each other?
Yeah.
I have the mind of Christ. No, yeah, but you have it in a collective sense. Meaning, you have the mind of Christ, but you ever notice the Bible says he gave different gifts to different people?
Yes, yes.
Which means you're not supposed to be independent, but you're interconnected.
Yes.
So where one person is weak, that's where the other person is strong. And together, you don't focus on your weaknesses. You focus what? On your strengths. It doesn't make really much sense to get married and talk about your partner's weakness when you didn't marry them because they were weak. You married them for where they were what? Strong. But somehow over a period of time, we could start looking at, well, you don't do this and you don't. But I've never done that. Well, I'm just bringing it up now. But we shouldn't be focused on what they did or couldn't do because you didn't marry them because of that. You married them because of what they could do.
Amen.
What if Jesus was responding to you like that? You can't do anything. It's all on me. It's all my righteousness, my healing power, my anointing, my love, my money. What do you got? My strength. You're weak. You're pathetic. You're no good. I don't know why I ever died for you. You'd be kind of like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You feel bad. Well, take it another level. If you and I are in the body of Christ, which is his body,
yes,
you wouldn't want to talk bad about another part of the body.
That's right.
Because it's his body.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And that's why the scripture says, just because you're not this part doesn't mean that that part isn't important.
That's right.
So, but we're supposed to be of the same mind one toward another. Galatians 5:13 says this, by love, serve one another. Now these are things we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And that means we have to be committed to it, creating that culture of, well, the Bible says through love, I'm supposed to serve one another. But if I'm not present, I can't serve. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not serving, then I'm not obeying the word. I'm not really being as committed as I would like to think I am. Because you and I, we're probably people who, by their own choice, free will,
mm-hmm.
not to say that, you know, there's situations where people can't get out and come to church, but a lot of, that's not the case for most people. A lot of times, people just want to stay home and say they watch church on TV,
mm-hmm.
right? But can you serve people by staying home watching church on TV? No.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have your Bible on, you're probably sitting on the couch eating, you know. Just doing whatever, clipping your nails or whatever when you're listening and eating and doing the dishes and vacuuming while the church service is going on. So, man, I got so much done. Look at me. Praise the Lord. I got the house cleaned. I went to church. I fed the kids. I did it all. All within that hour. But that's not so, right?
Right.
We shouldn't
right.
be like that. Here's another thing, Galatians 6:2, it says to carry one another's burden.
Yeah.
Well, again, you can't do that. You don't even know what the burden is or what trying to help people or pray for them or love them or assist them. You're not there, right? Can't do that. Ephesians 4:32 says it this way, be kind one to another. Can't do that. And lastly, I mean, there's more scripture, but this is just a couple. Ephesians 5:31 says, submit yourselves one to another. It means, hey, prefer the other people before you.
Yeah.
If somebody, you know, I always think it's funny when they have church, like, okay, you got donuts or you got food line or whatever. Preferring people is, you don't bring a Tupperware, like you want to be first in line for the luncheon, right? The barbecue, or the church barbecue. I know where people actually bring Tupperware and they're taking food and there's still a line behind them. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, why are you taking food? Well, because Mama asked. Well, Mama didn't come to church. Well, I'm just picking it up for Mama. Well, Mama ain't here. You got all these people who are here. And your Tupperware isn't no small one either. It's like, well, everybody else understands. Well, yeah, we understand. You're not submitting yourself. You're not being kind. Well, that's just Mama's burden. Mama needs me to carry it for her. I call this Mama's burden, this Tupperware. It's like, no. So when you think of how are we to live, right? What are we committed to? And these commitments are really not hard because they're just really small steps that we need to make. Small changes will turn into something bigger,
yeah.
Right? So as we head into 2019, we want to work together with the Lord and develop in our lives a higher level of commitment and dedication to the church and the work that he's called us to be a part of. So we have to identify those areas and ask him to help us to strengthen those areas. And one big thing I found that could help us is in James 4:8. It says this. It says, the word reminds us to draw nigh to God. That means, you know, you could just say increase your commitment to him. Mm-hmm. Cleanse your hands, or he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's one whole different group of people. Because he's writing to the church. But then he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Mm. You know, you can't be equally committed to two things. Can you be unthankful and grateful at the same time? No. So he's just saying, keep a singleness of purpose. Go back to the idea where Jesus said, hey, if you want to commit to me, it's going to cost you everything. That doesn't mean you won't have anything. It just means it's going to cost you. You have to be willing to pay the highest price, right? Because he paid the highest price
right. For
us.
Amen.
He said, just be willing to pay that price. Because what you actually think is so valuable isn't. In your own, you know, when you're looking at the external things, like if I could just get that, then I'd be happy. But when you got it, it didn't make you any happier. Right? Some of you like throw your pen on. Yeah, I know that was right. If I could just eat that, I'll never want another one. No, that wasn't so. Right? So when he's talking about commitment, he's talking about letting go of these outward things that you can't keep. And looking into the heart that he can fill that need that you'll never lose. That void that will never be void again. Mm-hmm. You know, as you seek him, as we seek him, as we become more committed to him and to what he's called us to do, we'll be happier.
Yeah.
You know, the outward things won't matter so much anymore. You start to look at your commitment level, because this really kind of goes back to our resolutions. We make these New Year resolutions. Don't use the word resolutions because, you know, if it says part of that is to resolve a matter, what have I actually resolved? What have I actually changed? What have I committed to? What changes do I need to make that I can make, that I'm not overcommitting to everything? You know, one problem is we commit so much, we can't keep it.
Yeah.
Because we have constraints. We have time constraints. We have this. And then we feel guilty about it, so we just quit. Well, don't quit. Don't quit. Whatever you do, don't quit. Say, well, okay, I reevaluate my commitments.
Amen.
And then I'm going to focus on what's really, really important
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to work on that. Something
yeah.
I know I can do.
That's right.
Just start with what I know I can do.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, start with what you know you can do.
Start with what you know you can do.
All right. Love each other more, yeah, right? Love each other more. All right, so as we take these little steps, starting with what we know we can do,
yeah.
and making our commitments to him stronger, like, you know, it dawned on me, now you might have already known this, but I couldn't figure out for a while why the devil always tries to get me not to read my Bible. Because he always says, it's just a small thing, it don't really matter. You don't need to do that right now, do it later. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. But then there's other things that I knew were no good for me. He'd say, well, just go ahead and do that. It's just a little thing. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Just a small thing. That chocolate cake ain't going to take you out. Just eat the whole thing. Right? But in thinking about it, on one hand, he tells me it's just a little thing, do it later. But if it's something that's not good for me, he says, do it now, do it now, do it now. But it's just a little thing. It won't hurt you. Well, then that reading the Bible won't hurt me either.
Right.
Right? Amen. So I might as well start with that. Because
right.
It's just a little thing. And if the chocolate cake ain't going to hurt, well, then let me read the Bible before I eat the chocolate cake. Yeah. And after I eat the chocolate cake. Right? And during when I'm eating the chocolate cake. Amen. So start with the little things. And as we just purpose in our life to make those little changes, we'll see our commitment begin to grow. And then we'll see next year we'll be in a different place than we were last year. Mm-hmm. We'll be at a higher place.
Amen. Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for showing us in our heart areas where we can improve our commitment level to you, where we can be more demonstrated, not from a point of legalism, but from love. Lord, that we can come to listen, to learn, and to lead, that we can just grow up in you by listening to your word, learning what you say, and as we follow you, Lord, you'll get us to the place to where we need to be. We just thank you for that. Helping us to do it, setting our priorities, doing things immediately, not putting things off. Help us to remember that procrastination isn't our friend, Lord, but that your promises are enduring even till the end. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we put the priority of your word first place in our life.
Yes, yes.
We just give you the praise and all the glory for the changes and the wonderful things you're doing in us and through us and for others.
Thank you.
And help us to be the member of the body
that
you called us to be, not being absent or forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but to be that part that edifies and exhorts and builds up and loves. Lord, that's being committed to you as we're committed to one another. We just thank you for it.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll go ahead and get ready for our offering. Tithes and offering, and if you're making out a check, you can just make it to LHFCC, and if you've already brought your offering out, that's great too. Amen? You did it at home, and you're all ready and get excited to give. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, in Scripture, it does talk about when the Israelites had given so much, they had to tell them to stop giving. Imagine that. Okay, people, stop giving. It's over. We don't need any more.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, wow, I just lost an eternal opportunity to sow. But I think about there will be a time when giving won't be required.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. But I also believe that as you give now, you and I, we really don't know, I mean, the eternal ramifications and how much God appreciates what you do, because not everybody does what you do. You know that. There's a lot of people who give zero, and they don't care about God or the work of the Lord or the things of God. And so when you give, he sees it, and he remembers it, and he recognizes it. He receives it because you give from a willing heart, and he'll bless you. Amen? And your eternal rewards will be great, and you'll be so glad that you said, man, I'm glad I listened to him. Mm-hmm. Amen, as he prompted us. So let's pray. Lord, give me, Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give. And as we give today with a happy, cheerful, glad heart, we know that whatever we sow, we will also reap. But we give with great joy, Lord, because we get to be involved in what you're doing in the earth. And you've given us this opportunity. And we consider it an honor and a pleasure and a privilege. And we just give humbly and with great expectations that, Lord, you're going to multiply this and lives will be changed on an eternal level. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Couple of quick announcements. Ladies' Bible study this week at 7 p.m. And it's going to be exciting, right, huh?
Yes.
Teaching on, what's your series on?
The Word, Characteristics of the Word.
Characteristics of the Word.
Yeah. was really good.
And we had a good men's Bible study.
Yes.
Woo-hoo!
Yes.
When you don't understand women. That's what we said. You don't understand women. You know, thinking about this for a moment, I think about this. Adam was so smart, right? He could name all the animals. He was smart. The guy had this mind that is incredible. I mean, all the classifications, he named them according to what they were.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible. Hundreds of thousands of species and beings. And yet, you know, he says, how come I don't understand Eve? Right? And it really is I think about this. He didn't know how God made Eve because he was sleeping.
Yeah.
God put Adam to sleep. And he makes Eve, and I says, now you get to spend eternity trying to figure her out. You think you know it all then, huh? You think you know it all, Adam? No. Let's see what you know there, buddy. It's like he was sleeping. You remember I told you when my wife and I, we had that disagreement? She'd ask me, where would you be without me? Where would the guys be without women? And I said, we'd still be in the Garden of Eden having a great time if it wasn't for you. Yeah, I had to repent on that one, too. You know, as well as... you know what, though? You know, honestly, if you think about some things, not that joke or anything like that, but we look at social media, we look at things that are affecting our society, people they don't function or think with, common sense. And just having common sense in your life, you could be hated just for having common sense. And to me, you know, it's like I was talking with my daughter Katie, and she said, she was talking with some kids at her Christian college, and they're like, well, we're more socialist. And I'm like, what do they mean, Katie? They go like, well, now think about this for a moment. This is why you gotta kind of be stronger and braver. Now these are the leaders of tomorrow said, well, because usually presidents and kings are cruel to people, and if Jesus is King of Kings, we don't really want him to be king because kings are mean. I'm like, how old are you? I'm not kidding. This is the rationale behind their thinking. It's like, because they don't have the word.
Yeah.
They could say they're Christian, but something got disconnected here.
Yeah.
When you're concerned about his leadership abilities.
Yeah.
I mean, who's he king of? You. King
That's
of
right.
kings. He made you a king. He's
yeah.
the big king. You're the little king.
Yeah. yeah.
You're joint heirs with him.
Yeah.
And you think the world's going to run under his leadership like it's running today? No. But sometimes, you know, people have to be told really the honest truth. I mean, just tell them the truth. So they can grow up, and they can kind of get shook up and say, they come to themselves and go, man, I was thinking wrong, right? Remember I was saying about when I got married? I thought, you got to obey the Bible. That's what the Bible says. I don't want to. That shocked me. I mean, I'm just telling you for me, it shocked me. I didn't think anybody would not obey the Bible. I mean, I thought, I got to obey it. I don't want to. But we were young, right? But since then, I realized it's true. People don't have to obey the Bible. They can do what they want. They shouldn't, but they can. Anyway, I just say that. So when you guys go out there, you can love people. Don't be afraid to offend people. Tell them the truth in love, right? Yeah. As the Lord did. I have to deal with my daughter and her classmates and all that kind of stuff. So that's okay. All right. God bless y'all.
We have a vision board class next week.
Vision board class.
Yes, mm-hmm. After church. Women's fellowship.
Next and Anna has a sign-up sheet for...
So what the vision board is,
yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, it's the things that you believe in God that you're committed to believe the Lord for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the things that he's put in your heart. You know, the Bible says, commit your works unto the Lord, and he will make it happen. Right? You can't believe God to be the best drug dealer in the state of Texas. That won't work. Right?
No.
No. People have strange prayer requests.
Yeah.
But you commit, Lord, I want to be the best that I can be. I'm going to believe for this. So I'm going to, you know, I want to, you know, believe I'm going to read my whole Bible one time through this year or something of that nature.
Yeah.
So you can believe for those things. So the vision board is what we're believing the Lord for, what you're believing the Lord for. And you write it down. We help you get the scriptures that cover it. So whenever there's a problem or there's a storm that comes against you and what you're believing the Lord for, then you go back to the Word and you say, well, this is what the Word said. Amen? Like I know some of you, you got promotions and, you know, it's having a target to what you're believing for so you know if you're making progress in that target. Does that make sense? Because if you don't know what you're believing for, how do you know when you get it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to believe God for some money. Okay, how much?
Right.
I don't know, whatever. Well, here's
the information. Sorry, honey. The information's right there.
Yeah. So creating a vision board.
Please bring a magazine.
A magazine?
Yes, and everything, all the supplies will be provided.
What's the magazine for?
So that they can put the pictures up on the vision board.
Of the thing that they're believing for.
Yes.
Okay, so a magazine, if you're believing for a car, you want an automobile magazine that has cars in it so you can cut it out. And see, this is really important, though. This is sometimes why things go by year after year and we don't get something because we're not really committed to believe for it because we don't really take the time to write it down, so then we don't know what we're believing for. If somebody just said, I'm believing God for some money. Okay, I found a dime today. I gave it to Brooke. God bless you, Brooke. Your prayer's answered. Well, no. That's not one you're going to check off. Like, oh, I got it. Yeah, everything's better. No. So you gotta be real, right? And say, okay, Lord, I'm believing you for $100. I'm believing for, or whatever it is, what you can believe for, what you commit to believe for. And then you write it down, and you keep believing until it happens. It doesn't matter if it took a day, a month, a year, or 5 years. This is what you committed to believing for. Like, there's things that we were believing for that didn't happen in 2018. There were some that did. So then we roll it over to 2019. Because the year really doesn't matter. I'm still believing.
Yeah.
I haven't given up on that.
That's right.
So that's why it's important. Your vision board. Write it down. Come in agreement. What are you believing God for? Like, my wife is believing for something different than what I'm believing for.
Yeah.
But I can agree with her. As long as I don't have to pay for it, I can agree with it. It's like, go ahead, honey. You believe in God. God's your source. God is your source,
baby.
Right, he's your source.
Hallelujah.
I'll agree with you. He's the source.
Amen.
Man, you should be like standing up applauding with me. He's like, yeah, we're a preacher. I said, God is your source.
Yeah.
And then, he's my source too. We don't put pressure on one another, right? Don't put pressure on each other. The pressure should go on the Word to produce the promise,
right.
Not on the people.
Right.
Amen?
Yes. Amen?
So I'm excited for it because I'm the Lord's going to bring that to pass for you. I can help and assist, but we got to be in agreement to what we're believing for. This is really key because if you don't, like you said, why are you spending so much time on this? Hey, it ain't no 3 hours, I'll tell you that. I've only been speaking about 10 minutes. This is key, and here's why. Because what you're believing for, if it's you're really believing for it, you'll take the time to commit to put it to paper, to write it down. If you think, oh, I just got it up here, then you're not really serious. Because you have to keep it, write it down, make it simple and plain, so you can run and you can continue believing for the thing that you're believing for. Whether it's a physical goal, a financial goal, you know, emotional, ministry goal, prayer goal, whatever it is, write it down, get the vision, keep it before you, and it will come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
All right, people.
So, Anna has a